What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, west. Me and B out west, Ashburn, VA, home of the Commanders. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I'm good, brother. What's happening with you?
I watched the baseball last night. You watched the baseball last night?
No.
Listen, the O's lost. You can give me a hard time about that if you want to.
I'm not going to give you a hard time. I told you, anytime Jeff starts betting on teams.
Yeah, I was screwed.
You know?
I was screwed as soon as Jeff got involved. I think with the Orioles, they just couldn't hit.
You said it yesterday that you feel they're going to get swept.
Yeah.
And they're
sure
down
enough.
Two now.
No, it's
best, over. It's best of three, right?
Yeah. No,
it's over.
It's over.
Yeah, I played golf and then I hung around the clubhouse a little bit, so I wasn't really paying attention.
How are the good folks over at Westwood? They take good care.
We were drinking a lot of Prisoner.
Prisoner bourbon?
Wine.
Okay. That's the
red
nice
wine.
One. I've seen that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That'll get you.
Yep.
I had my show last night at NBC4. You can check that out on YouTube or on the NBC Washington app. It was a lot of fun. My wife's got me on this gratitude thing, right? Excuse me. Where I'm trying to take a moment every day and be grateful. And you know me. I am a...
She reminding you? Because
yeah.
I know you'll forget to do it every day.
Correct. But you know how I'm wired. I am just constantly going,
uh-huh.
Right? It's just who I am. And I think I don't want to change that about myself. But mm-hmm. I also need to recognize, you know, I got two little girls that are happy and healthy and a roof over my head. And there's some things to be grateful for, right? And I'm trying to be cognizant of that more often.
Mm-hmm.
I've got friends and I've got Jeff and, you know, there's a lot of good things in life. And we did our show last night and Heather did this open showing Terry McLaurin dap up Josh Harris and Adam Peters. And he goes, "This is fun now," coming off the field from mm-hmm. the Cardinals game. And then Heather, like, had some fun with it and was showing fireworks and panda bears and, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
kept showing the NFC East standings. And as the show went on, we played this, like, supercut of the locker room postgame. And
yeah.
I know you talked to a bunch of those guys postgame. And I remembered the last time, not the last time we were out there, but one of the games I remember was – I think it was week one. I think it was the opener of 2017. And I'm going to pull this up because I remember it well. No, it must have been 16. It was early in the year, and they opened in Arizona, and it went poorly. And where the interview room is in Phoenix, you can hear.
Yeah, it's right next,
it's
next
right
to
next
it.
To
it's
it.
Basically in it. Just
right.
A little wall separating it.
And maybe it wasn't the opener. Maybe it was later in the year. But you could hear the coaches getting really upset with the players after a blown chance at a win. And then after this game, we could hear the players start cheering, right? We're from where we were sitting. And we don't know exactly what's happening. Eventually, the video comes out. The loud eruption was DQ giving Kingsbury the game ball, right?
Yeah.
And I was listening to Scott Van Pelt's podcast this morning, and he's talking about being a Skins fan and what it meant to him, and it's not all the way back, and you got to take a moment, and you don't want to get ahead of yourself, and all these things, and that's all completely true. It's October 3rd.
Yep.
You don't even know what a football team is until after Halloween at the earliest, and it's a constantly evolving life form,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But just for a moment, I think it's okay to recognize that right now on October 3rd, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
it's kind of fun.
But the thing about it is, you know, sometimes you have to sit there as you're going through stuff and you're starting to accomplish these little minor goals. You still want to enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you enjoy the day. As DQ always say, you enjoy it that night, and then the next day, boom, you move on to the next
sure.
game. But I understand what people are saying, but the ultimate thing is, if you can't enjoy what you're doing along the journey, why the hell do it? You know? You don't have to wait till the end. I remember going on that stretch in 91 where I told you how Monty Coleman was. We'll finish it up, enjoy it tonight, and tomorrow let's get on to the next one. And he kept, when we get to the next one, 0-0. You forgot about the win already. Okay, we got to win this one today. We want to be 1-0 after this weekend. And I talked about this coach who with Hampton when we were doing the stuff earlier. We were doing the coaches' meetings and stuff. And they were like asking him about the team he had played before and all of these rivalry games. He said, look, man, all we care about is being 1-0 after Saturday. And I think that as long as you can have that mindset, enjoy it for the moment and then move on.
And, dude, I think they have that mindset. I think I go back to all the concern, perhaps, that Jaden wasn't named starter earlier. And I really wasn't worried about it because it was one of those things that I felt you knew it was coming, and yeah. When it happened didn't really matter. But I think it was really smart to not put him in like a fake leadership position. And we've seen that over the years out here where like the marketing department determines who the captains are, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And DQ is like, nah, we're going to do it week by week. And I thought it was pretty cool last week that McNichols got to be captain. And then he goes on to ball out and have 2 touchdowns, about 70 mm-hmm. yards rushing. But I think they're at a point now where you talk about, yo, play the game, enjoy the game, 24 hours, move forward. That's who Jaden is. That's what he says every week. That's what he said since he got here. And he's all about ball and work. You know the term in basketball for a gym rat? Like a guy that's just always in the gym getting shots up, watching film, whatever it is. I don't know what the football term for that is. I've always said like a tape nerd. But whatever that term is, that's who Jaden is.
He's still a gym rat. I mean, no matter what sport, people still call it a gym rat. It's a guy that's always working on his craft.
And I think that's who Jaden is. Yeah. And I think no matter what happens this week or next week in Baltimore, and if they get to 5-1 or they get to 3-3, whatever the hell happens, the fact that that's who Jaden is creates natural, organic leadership.
Yeah.
And that he gets to drive this bus because everybody that's around is like, yo, the dude that's on the cover of every magazine and on every Instagram page and on ESPN constantly, he doesn't care about any of that, and he's just putting the work in. I better do the same damn thing.
That's the way I look at it. And I've always said it where people come into a league and everybody expects a person to have to wait a certain amount of time. Leaders are leaders. There's no game plan or time limit or time frame when you become a leader. When you're that guy, you're that guy, point blank. You know, guys know who's who. I can recall for years watching this football team, and you had Rock Cartwright and Mike Sellers, that Mike Rock's returning and stuff, and Mike was like the guy who was a special teams menace. Lorenzo Alexander was a special team menace, but guess what? They were the leaders of the football team. They weren't the quarterback. They weren't the starting linebacker. But they were guys that performed at a high level in their position, and they were consistent, okay? They were workaholics, and the team followed them. But fans, media, we automatically assume every time it has to be the quarterback, it has to be whoever. If it is, kudos. But most times it's not. In this situation, they got the best of all. You got your quarterback who's the hardest worker out here, and he's a guy who doesn't believe in all the other stuff. He just goes out and work. Wants to try and win games. So the rest of the team has no choice but to follow that.
It's great when the quarterback's a leader, but it also doesn't matter. Like, I don't know that Jared Goff isn't a leader, but you look at those Lions teams and between Campbell and to me, Amon-Ra St. Brown and like some of the dogs they have on that team, you could just be – you're not necessarily one of the guys, but you could be a leader without like being the guy that's carrying the flag out of the tunnel.
You don't have to do that. You don't have to be the one who's vocal all the time when you have other guys on your squad. When we went to the Super Bowl, Mark Rippon wasn't the leader. He led the whole huddle. He led the offense. Monty Coleman was the leader of that football team. That the Hogs were the leaders of that football team. It wasn't the quarterback. But still, when the quarterback had to do his thing, the quarterback was consistent. And he was the guy winning out there making all the right decisions. But, it doesn't make your team better or not. You got to have some person be a leader. But if that quarterback can absolutely be it, you know. And Art Monk was a leader. Art probably said 2 words the whole damn time he was on the football field. All he did was make play. But he was the hardest working guy when you got into the gym, in the training room, the lifting weights, out on the field. He worked harder than everybody. So people are going to look at that and follow it.
We have a packed show coming your way. We are out in Ashburn, VA. You should hear today from Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt. I imagine Joe Witt might feel a little better after his defense finally had a really good performance. I think, frankly, he's been pretty pissed off the last few weeks. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will join us at 11. And at high noon, B-Rob, Brian Robinson joining the program. Mm-hmm. Make sure you are locked in for that. I'm actually pretty damn excited to hear you talk to B-Rob about, you know, the intricacies of running the football. 10:45, we're going to give away Thomas Rhett tickets. Got to go through the injury report. Peter Rosenberg at 1:30. But it's going to be a busy day. It's going to be all football all day. All of our football coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Moving forward, B, this is probably the best defense they've faced all year. And I don't know that Cleveland's firing on all cylinders like they have in the past, but still, when you got a guy like Myles Garrett out there, not that they haven't faced some pass rushers, and obviously Hendrickson's a player, and I think Dexter Lawrence is by far the best player on that Giants defense. Rather, I know they got guys on the edges, but you just don't see it consistently from Burns and Thibodeau. Yeah. But this Browns defense, right now, we looked at this yesterday. So for Cleveland, they are 11th in yards allowed, 17th in points allowed. That usually means you got an underperforming offense and you're putting the defense in some tough spots. You look at the offensive side of this thing, 31st in yards gained, 27th in points scored. I'm not taking anything away from this defense. They play a ton of one-on-one coverage on the outside and let their D-line go get it. Quick initial impressions on just the Browns matchup.
Well, I think the thing of it is this. Just like you just said, this is the best defense that they played. I think Washington would have to believe that they're the best offense that they played. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think Cleveland has to look at the fact that, hold on now, yeah, it's a young quarterback over there, but this team is doing a lot. They get everybody involved. We're going to have to be sound. So they have to be concerned about this offense. Flipping it over with the defense against them, you have to be able to come out there and make them keep playing like they've been playing. Don't let them have that get right day on you. So I'm positive. I'm confident. Because I think at this point, and I think this is what the team is probably building, to where every week is not about who you're facing. It's about what you do. And if you reach the goals that you're setting for yourself and you can play as consistent as you want to play, they got to be concerned about you just as much as you got to be concerned about them.
One thing that stands out to me is going to be third downs. And that perhaps is cliche, but when you look at the numbers on this thing, it is so apparent that it's almost like a yin and a yang. Washington, first in the league on third downs. They're converting over 50%, which is damn near unheard of. Right now they're converting 53.5% on third down. They are 23 out of 43. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really, really good.
That's high.
First in the league, probably by a pretty wide margin. Cleveland, seventh in the league at stopping on third downs. Browns opponents are only converting 30% of their third downs. They've only given up 15 third down conversions.
All right.
That's a rubber meets road situation, and I am pretty fascinated to see how that goes.
Something I would like to see, where is Washington on yards gained on first down? To see what they've done, we talked about this yesterday, on first and second down, they've gotten positive yardage where they put themselves in third and manageable, where it's not third and 10 and third and 15. We've seen it over the years. Third and 8, third and 7, third and 9, third and 15. It's been third and short, third and manageable, to where now when I get on the edge, you got to make a decision as a defensive back or a linebacker or whatever. So they've been being very successful on first and second down, which makes third down even easier.
Well, I actually asked – it's funny you bring that up, because I asked Jaden about that yesterday, because they've done a really good job of avoiding third and longs. Jaden said, nobody wants to be in third and longs and stuff like that behind the chains, so we do our best to stay ahead. That's what defenses are trying to do, is knock us back behind the chains, get us in longer situations. So from that, it's like, man, how can we maybe not take a first or second down sack or get the ball out? We call stuff like dirty throwaways, just little stuff to stay ahead of the chains to give ourselves a chance. They are in third and five or less most in the NFL. I think what one thing Cliff has done really well, they are extremely unpredictable on first downs. So generally defenses can't key run or pass on first down. And in turn, it keeps things operational. I mean, I feel like I can count on the top of my head the amount of like third and 10 or mores over four games. It just hasn't happened.
See, historically, when you are third and five or less, you're a damn good third down team.
Right.
And you can just look at the fact, if you're third and five or less on third down, you're very effective first and second down. And I think we put so much emphasis on third down. What it ultimately comes down to is this team is more or less an every down team. On fourth down, they're what? They're still 100%. They are an every down team at this point. And if that continues, they're going to be a problem.
It is going to be fascinating because a lot of things will hinge on Jaden. And he had a line yesterday. Somebody tried to ask him, like, do you still feel like a rookie? Or he's like, yes, I'm a rookie. He shuts that. He's been asked that kind of thing a few different times, and he shuts it down every time. But I thought he had a great line, and I tweeted this out last night at JP Finley NBCS. He said, I wouldn't say it's a finished product. It's just a start. And he keeps trying to say that. Like, people keep wanting to want to make him something ahead of the curve. And he's like, nah, man, he's not in a hurry. The world is in a hurry. Jaden is not in a hurry.
The whole thing about it is, and I said it yesterday, I'll continue saying it, we normally live by what the media and the fans think. If you really listen to the players, they're always even keel. We want him to be so ahead of everything so quick. If he's the same way in year 5, 10, that's a positive. That's a plus. When people would tell you Tom Brady in his 15th, 20th year was still beating everybody to the place, staying longer, that is a positive. What if he doesn't feel like a rookie anymore? He's supposed to stop working? He's supposed to stop being the one that wants to be having the same work ethic that he has? What he said when the big talk was for all of us about starting, who they going to name the starter? He said, once I become a starter, I'm not going to stop working. I'm going to keep being the same person.
Right.
So whether he feels like a rookie still or not, you want him to change his way? I hear those questions all the time, and I'm dumbfounded by them. A person that was a first-year guy writing or covering a team, after you don't feel like you're a first-year guy anymore, do you stop?
No.
How many years you been doing it, and you working as hard as you ever worked? So the ultimate thing is, who cares if it's the first year or not?
Totally. This is going to be a fascinating game because I think a lot of fans are looking ahead to the Ravens. The Browns come in 1-3. I understand that. But if you care, if you try to look at who they've played, all these things, that's a bad loss to the Raiders in Vegas last week. NFL's a funny thing, man. This is a good defense, and Washington's going to be ready. I'm not concerned they won't be ready. We've seen enough from the organization. Arizona was such an easy game to have the letdown. In previous years, you could have seen that coming. It didn't happen. What good teams do is they keep building, and when they have winnable games, they take care of them. We're going to find out if Washington is that team. Nobody go anywhere. Charles Robinson joins us at 11. Yacht Rock, get us moving. Does this qualify as Yacht Rock? I think it does. I don't know. I can't remember the name of this song, but I know the chorus.
Yeah, I was playing Hall and Oates and Hall and Oates yesterday.
On the golf course?
And the guy was like, man, is that Yacht Rock? I said, no, that's R&B.
I don't know. You think Hall and Oates is R&B?
Hall and Oates had been considered R&B ever since they came out. Back in the day.
All right. What is a fair way to – what genre is Hall & Oates?
Just whatever it is. But I'm saying that's how they played it. And they wrote a lot of stuff, dog.
Pop.
They're not pop.
According to Google, they're dance pop.
Well, pop wouldn't need much around in 1970s and 80s.
A fusion of a fusion of rock and roll, soul music, and rhythm and blues.
What is rhythm and blues and soul? Okay, but pop has pop today is not what Hall & Oates was back in the day.
Are Hall & Oates considered yacht rock? It says they're more marina rock than yacht rock. I don't really know what that means.
It's just like you got too many damn things to call one thing.
Lanville, what would you classify Hall & Oates?
They're unclassifiable. They're Hall & Oates, baby.
I'll go with rhythm and blues.
She's a rich girl. All right, I want to say good morning to the boys in the aquarium. Hello, boys. Hello, Landini. Hello, Jeffrey. How you doing?
What up, JP? What up, B? I'm good, man. How y'all?
We good, brother.
We're good.
You kind of pulled a little Nate right there. You just started talking. I'm joking.
Landfill, how are you?
Fine.
Okay, good. Jeff, what did you think of my brief moment to recognize how much fun the first four games have been?
I liked it. It's needed. Like, we as fans need to take this time to really appreciate this time, because usually when we have this up, it's always, oh, y'all lucky, da da da. Nah, this is progress right here. So we need to enjoy, because we know progress won't always look good. It won't always feel good. So while it does feel good, let's enjoy it.
Yeah, it's not always a straight line, in a vertical line, right? Like, things dip and come back.
They do all kind of moves.
Speaking of progress and moves, arguably the two most famous football players on the planet at this point, one is retired and one doesn't have a touchdown catch this year. The Kelce's. Mm-hmm. They're great football players. Jason Kelce's going to be a Hall of Famer. I think Travis is going to be a Hall of Famer eventually. Whenever he gets done playing, right? I think I've said this before and people get mad at me. I think you can argue Jason has been a better center than – I think you can argue Jason's the greatest center of all time. And I think Travis is a top 3-4 tight end, but maybe not the same. Regardless, they're super famous. And their podcast and the Taylor Swift stuff and all of it, right? The Kelce's started talking about what everybody in America is talking about, Jaden Daniels.
We can go into another wild stat here, and that is the rookie phenom. That's right, phenom Jaden Daniels.
This dude is unbelievable, man. He is fun to watch.
The stat in particular that everyone seems to be bringing up is the 82.1% completion.
That's through four games, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the number one all time through four games. It might be a LeBron stat, but that is a damn good LeBron stat.
There's one you can hang your hat on. That's the one right there.
And it's what's been unique is the first game for sure, it was all dinking and dunking, and the ball was out quick. And he's still getting that ball out quick.
He's got a quick trigger, yeah.
But now you're seeing, and part of it might be defenses have seen that, and it's forced them to defend.
Reacting to it, yeah.
You're seeing him take the shots down the field. You're seeing him make the big throws to McLaurin.
To his receiver's credit, they're making these f***ing plays, man. Yeah. They are making big-time plays. Zach Ertz. Out there making f***ing plays, baby.
I was just talking to my boy. They are having fun right now. These last 2 weeks have been a coming-out party for this offense. Cliff Kingsbury has them rolling. Jaden Daniels. Man, I don't know if he's going to be the next C.J. Stroud, the next Pat Mahomes, but there's something I like about it.
Daniels, man.
There's something I like about watching it. Like, there's a poise. There's a personality. There's an excitement.
Man.
Like, he's confident. I love watching him play.
I think the Kelce brothers just summed up how everybody here feels.
Yeah.
There is a personality, and specific to Jaden, the personality, the poise. I mean, he is smiling through it all. You know what I mean? And there's a lot to appreciate about that. The receivers are making an unheralded rookie. I thought that catch Luke McCaffrey made on 2nd and 15 to get a 17-yard gain, the ball was the ball was there for him. Mm-hmm. It was a little high, little reach. He had to make a play, and he made it, you know? Yeah. Ertz has repeatedly made plays, and Ertz was a guy I was really high on coming out of training camp.
Yep.
And you just needed him to be healthy. But so far, Ertz is catching damn near everything that comes his way. Terry's getting going, back-to-back games with a fourth-quarter touchdown catch to kind of seal away games.
It's like you have a guy who puts the ball here from in the circumference of where guys are catching it,
right.
and then the guys are pulling it in. A pass is not done by just a quarterback. I mean, a completion is not just a quarterback. You know, it's the players as well. Sometimes balls live here. But if it's in that circumference, you're supposed to catch it. And they're doing a good job of it. But I like the fact
catch
that
radius.
You have two guys who have high football IQs, and they're seeing something special about this young man. Like Jason is saying, I don't know what he's going to be, but I see something special. And we've all said that in some way or form where – I don't know what he's going to accomplish at the end, but I know he does some things right now that I you want to see. And you've seen in other people that have that end up being great. So, will he be? Possibly. Maybe. Maybe not. But we know he does the things he needs to do to get there. And if you're not doing the things you need to do to get there, you won't be doing the things he's doing even this early. You know? So, I don't know.
It's
you made me look up some centers, though, because I was thinking of some names, and you said Jason Kelce, best ever.
Who do you like?
Damani Dawson.
I'm not saying definitively,
unbelievable.
But he's
– even Pouncey was good, but I think Dawson was
– And who – there's another Steelers dude.
Webster.
Yeah. I'm not saying definitively, but I think he's among.
He's one of the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Regardless, that's a weird hill for us to debate, but – I think specifically what the Kelces are saying there, I do think it's important to not get super caught up in some of the stats yet. The 82% completion percentage right now is freaking nuts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But a guy that you're buddies with that I like his analysis a lot is Booger McFarland.
Mm-hmm.
And you've said this repeatedly. You've always said 6 weeks, and as the season has gotten, depending when it starts, maybe it's six, maybe it's seven. But you got to chill till about Halloween. After Halloween, you get a real idea of what a team is. That'll be 8 games for this squad,
mm-hmm.
right? They go Browns at Ravens, Panthers, Bears. Just looking ahead here, B, and I'm not getting too far ahead, too far away from Sunday's game against Cleveland. But to come out of the opening 4-3-1, where you had 3 road games, 2 teams that were playoff teams last year, right? 2 games in 6 days on the road with some travel involved. To come out of that 3-1, you are ahead of pace when you look at the next 4. And I know it's a 17-game season, mm-hmm. but still, coaches divide this stuff up into months, into 4s. 3 of the next 4 are at home. They're going to be favored, I would say. I mean, they're favored over the Browns. They're definitely going to be favored over the Panthers. I would think they're going to be favored over the Bears. There's probably look-ahead numbers you can find. And that doesn't mean they're going to win. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But it does mean that when oddsmakers look at the talent pool of both teams, they think Washington's a little bit ahead.
But they put themselves.
It's a big opportunity, man.
But I think in the beginning of the season, none of us would have thought what you just stated. But the fact that they have done and taken care of business in the first 4 games, now you start to see that. And I don't know if they think the talent pool has completely changed. It's just that you got somebody working at a high level, and now the offensive line that you didn't know nothing about, you have some semblance of what they're capable of. And then you look at the running game and all the people getting involved offensively. Then you flip it over to defense and you go, they haven't played their best just yet, and they're sitting at 3-1. If they start playing a lot better, I think that goes up a little bit. But the ultimate thing, we as fans and media – can look ahead and think what we want. Those players better keep it one game at a time. They can't get caught up in the hype of everybody else around them. They have to be able to, and that's what the player, that's why you are a player and other people are doing other things. You have to be the one that can focus in on what's the job at hand.
Apparently, Hall and Oates is considered blue-eyed soul, Brian.
Call it what you want to call it.
We're giving away Thomas Rhett tickets next, Charles Robinson at 11. All right, if you like Thomas Rhett, call our 10 right now, 800-636-1067. You win two tickets to see Thomas Rhett Veteran Boots Tour next August, Friday, August 22nd, 2025 at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/events. There it is. Get your Thomas Rhett tickets. Call in right now. Jeffrey, going to be busy. People are going to call in for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Have you physically seen the injury report from Wednesday for this week's game?
No.
All right, I'm going to show it to you. Everybody on the stream, watch for B. Mitch's reaction here. Look how long that is.
A lot of folks.
You know, it's like Patrick Ewing's arms. Well, like it's very long.
It's because they now want you to put everything in it.
Well, yes. But you also had a lot of DNPs yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to run through it for the Commanders. Or you want the Browns first? Because Miles Garrett didn't practice yesterday.
Yeah, but like the DNPs don't always mean injury. Sometimes it could be...
You can use a rest designation.
Yeah.
The Browns had Conklin, Garrett, Hicks, Newsom, Okoroko, Pochick, Willis, and Alex Wright, all DNPs. Then they've got Chubb trying to come back, Nyheim Hines trying to come back. All those guys are on IR. Njoku, limited in practice. A lot going on. Jerry Jeudy was a full participant. JOK, the linebacker, versatile player, full participant. He's dealing with a hand injury. The Browns injury report has, I mean, it's got to be close to 20 guys on here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. At around 15, at least.
You know how many were like that? I know who should be like that back in the day had more than that consistently. Patriots.
Oh, yeah. Because no matter what, Bill got in trouble once. He's like, fine, I'll list everything.
Because let's be real. If you really were to go based off of all of the criteria they give you, somebody is dealing with something every week. You could probably put 75% of the players on the injury report, and you wouldn't be wrong.
Now, a big blow for the Browns earlier, I think last week, they had to put Wyatt Teller, their Pro Bowl guard, on the injured reserve. So Washington won't be facing Teller this week. But let's look at the Commanders' injury report. Now, Wednesday is the day where the teams have the most flexibility, okay? Wednesday is the day you're going to give a guy off. And if they need another day off, you give them Thursday off. Typically, you at least get guys out there Friday for an individual workout. So take the biggest grain of salt with the Wednesday injury report. There's a couple things that stand out to me. F.A. Obada, Jordan McGee, Marcus Mariota, they've opened the 21-day window for those guys to return. I don't know where they are. We got to talk to McGee yesterday, and he's really excited to kind of be back practicing with the team. When you're on IR or the PUP list, you have to work out separately. I got the feeling, though, they have one extra roster spot now. They only have 52 right now. I'm not necessarily expecting any of those guys called up by Sunday. If it was anybody, I would think it'd be McGee or Obada. Some of that might depend on Clelin Ferrell. Ferrell still has missed the last two, but DQ said he thought he'd be good for Cleveland. So let's run through the limiteds. After guys, you know, played last week, if they're a little limited, not too concerned. Emmanuel Forbes was a full participant in practice. Johnny Newton was limited. Austin Eckler working his way back from the concussion, limited. Percy Butler, limited with a groin. Noah Brown, limited with a groin. Of all the limited guys, and we'll include Forbes in there, even though he was a full participant. I think everybody's playing. They're beat up. But,
I agree.
Getting Eckler back could be a huge addition. Obviously, we saw that McNichols can get it done too, though. So that's good news. Now I'm going to run through the DNPs, and we'll go one by one. You tell me your level of concern. Tyler Owens was a DNP with a shin injury.
Yep. I think he'll play.
Dominique Hampton, the rookie, they just said he was sick.
Met his dad the other day.
Good guy?
He's from AZ.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were from right near. His dad was at the cigar bar.
Oh, cool.
That I went to after the game.
Hampton DMP, they said he's sick.
Okay.
I think if you're sick,
a lot of stuff he's flying
you
around.
Get better. Farrell, Clelin Farrell, hasn't played in 2 weeks. DNP yesterday, still with the knee.
That's a little concerning.
I think you'd like to see him practice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Or at least be limited at practice. Mm-hmm. Today, Farrell is a one to keep an eye on, I think.
True, because
he's missed the last two games. Ertz, DNP, rest. They said non-injury related.
Yeah.
That's a zero concern. I think Zach Ertz is 13th year in the pros, whatever it is.
Been around a long time.
You know who his first quarterback was?
Who?
Vic.
Long time.
Yeah, dude.
Long time.
How crazy is that? And he was telling me yesterday in the locker room that he had a real tough time adjusting to a lefty quarterback. He said everything is different, and when he and the way Vic,
everything travels. I mean, the ball comes differently. You get so accustomed to looking at it.
Right.
Same thing.
Well, the lefty punters.
So
right?
Everything comes from here. So what you're accustomed to is opposite. Hand got to be in a different position. So that is tough.
That was a long time ago, but I just thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
The couple that I think are interesting, the Farrell one I'm keeping an eye on, Nick Allegretti.
Yeah.
Hurt his ankle in the Cardinals game. He's been playing really well. He's not in the walking boot. I talked to him yesterday. Says he's good to go. X-rays came back fine. DNP yesterday. I'm cool with that as a DMP. I'm cool if he's an individual participant Friday. I think you do have to see him run around and push it again.
Give him a little bit more time to, because, like, you know, athletes heal differently than the regular folks. And if you just give him one more day, it makes a world of difference. So I'm cool with it.
I won't be shocked if Allegretti's a DMP again today, or at least limited. Maybe you give him a limited day today and then go on Friday. New name on the injury report, B. And we're actually going to talk to this young man in an hour. Brian Robinson Jr. landed on the injury report, DNP knee. Rest? Maybe he took a shot to the knee, let him chill a little bit?
I think it rests. The fact that we have him on the radio today, he's playing.
Dude,
I'm just saying.
The fact that you said that makes me feel so much better, because as soon as Landfill texted us that last night, I was like, oh, he's fine.
Yes. Come on, man. If he wasn't and he was on, if he was really injured, they're not letting him talk.
Right. Sometimes you can. There are things that happen.
There's
for
some
a reason.
Things that when you're in it, you know it.
Here's another thing that happens for a reason. Charles Robinson, very smart, very wired in around the league. Yahoo Sports. Charles Robinson joins us next.